the most deadly doctrine devised by Satan, passed into the hands of demons, injected into official church councils, and broadcast to the world by our zealous friends in the Christian religion is the doctrine of free will. That's all right. That's the teaching that denies the death of Christ for sin. That's all it does. And I swear to you, I'll explain that before this show is over. Welcome to another edition of Zender Talk. Now, I used to think that eternal torment was the most deadly doctrine. Not anymore. I simply think it's the most hideous now. It's the most God-defiling. It's sicko. But still, the doctrine that denies the death of Christ for sin is the deadly doctrine. But see, here's Satan's modus operandi. He wants to drive as many people as possible into the free will doctrine. And so he devised, this is theoretical. I don't have Satan's blueprints in front of me, and I really cannot easily interject myself into the mind of Satan. I'm going to go against the grain here and try to imagine what Satan was thinking. He was probably thinking this. I got to keep people from believing on Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the key deal. Got to keep that from happening. But I need them to think that they're believing in Jesus. Bang, he says, I got it. I'm going to make faith a human thing that pays off with the gift, quote-unquote, of salvation. I explained this to you in my book, The Really Bad Thing About Free Will. So the doctrine he came up with was free will. He has to drive people into it. Did I say that? All right. He's got to drive people into it. See, it's hard for me to think like Satan. I just can't do it easily. So he comes up with eternal torment, the sickest doctrine you can imagine, that God's going to burn most of humanity in hell for eternity. Most normal people go ape over that, and they say, we can't make God responsible for that. We can't. We have. There's got to be an out. We'll make the human responsible. And so there's the verses ready to be twisted and tainted and looked at sideways. And so Satan drives normal people into the doctrine of free will. I say normal people because Calvinists are not normal people. Calvinists are freaks of nature. Why? Because they encounter the doctrine of eternal torment, and for some reason it doesn't drive them like it would normal people into the doctrine of free will. Give credit to the Calvinists. They don't believe in free will. They see all the verses that say God's responsible for salvation, but they still hold on to eternal torment. And they have no problem making God responsible for sending millions of people to hell. They don't react like normal people. They're freaks of nature. If you're a Calvinist and you're listening to me, you'll be offended. You should be offended. You should be very offended. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 3. These are the founding stones of Paul's evangel. Very simple. I'm going to read them now. Simple, simple, simple. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Now I am making known to you, brethren, the evangel which I bring to you, which also you accepted, in which also you stand, through which also you are saved, if you are retaining what I said and bringing the evangel to you outside and except you believe feignedly. I haven't gotten to the founding stones yet. This is the introduction. But this is important too, and I want to bring out some main points from this. Now, I'm making known to you, brethren, the evangel which I bring to you. It came via a human mouthpiece, that was Paul, which you also accepted, in which you stand, through which you are saved. If you look in the Concordant Literal New Testament here, which gives you some exacting marks that concern the parts of speech, we see that the saved is in the incomplete verb form. You are being saved. The apprehension of this gospel that I'm about to tell you, the apprehension of it does not make you saved. Your absolute salvation occurred 2,000 years ago. It's the apprehension of it that makes you being saved. It brings you into a realization of something that has already been true. through which you are also being saved, if you are retaining what I said and bringing the evangel to you outside, and except you believe feignedly. You can't, there, it is possible for people to believe feignedly. The Greek word there is eike. No, I didn't just fall off a tree. Eike. And that means simulately. There are folks who look like they're believing in Jesus, but as I pointed out in my book, they're believing in themselves. That's the introduction. Here are the elements. For I give over to you among the first what also I accepted, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was entombed, and he has been roused the third day according to the Scriptures. That's it. That is it. Christ died for our sins. Oh, stop right there. Oh, I should have stopped at died. Christ died. Christ died. Well, that's, how can anything be simpler to believe that Christ died? Precisely. This is why I want to reiterate to you the subtlety and the brilliance of Satan's doctrines, the teachings of demons we discussed yesterday. To get somebody to think they're believing these simple points while causing them at the same time to not believe them requires diabolical finesse. Finesse not of this world. And that's Satan's department. The teachings of demons are otherworldly in their sophistication. And this is why so many people get sucked up by them. So many people deceived. And the doctrine of the Trinity beautifully serves Satan's purpose here. It's the tripwire in front of the first founding stone. Christ died. Well, the Trinity says that Christ is the absolute deity, notwithstanding that Jesus himself said many times that he had a God. He prayed to God. The deity cannot pray to itself. I'm not saying that we're not to worship Christ as God. We are. I worship Jesus Christ as God. He is the image of the invisible God. In fact, that verse proves he's not God. He's the image of the invisible God. We can't see God, but we can see Christ. Christ is a created being. I think it's Revelation 3:14, the original of God's creation. When Thomas said, my Lord and my God, he's allowed to call him God. We're allowed to call Jesus Christ God because he's such a perfect image of God. He's worthy to take the names of God. He's worthy to be worshipped as God. But he is the Son of God, and a kindergartner can understand that concept. What nobody can understand is how three persons can be one God, or how one person can exist in three different modes at the same time, how Jesus can die and still be God and still be running the universe. I ask people, who was running the universe while Jesus Christ was dead? Woo, that throws them for a loop. Don't I love it? Because they don't know. Well, Jesus put on his God suit while his body was in the grave. He got all these crazy, stupid, unspiritual, unscriptural explanations. Here's the simple explanation. Two words in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-3. Christ died. Jesus Christ was dead for 3 days. Man, did that shock me when I realized that. When I realized what death really was, the death of Christ stunned me. It opened up a new vista of his faith, of going to the cross, letting go. He let go, and he realized that if God did not rouse him, he would never see the light of day again. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was dead as a rock for 3 days. And believe it or not, that's the founding stone of the evangel of grace. Because without that, you don't have the third stone, which is, and he has been roused. You can't be raised from the dead if you're not dead. Now, Christ died for our sins. Let me ask you this. What is the first thing that the religious world, the pastors at the altar call tell you when they want to bring you to the front of the altar? You're a sinner and you need saved from your sins. You need saved from your sins. They start you out with an acknowledgement that your sins are still standing against you. That's the default setting of modern-day evangelism. Your sins are still counted against you. Here's how you can get rid of them: by exercising your faith and coming down to the strains of the organ music. The doctrine of free will denies the death of Christ for our sins. That's the tripwire. The doctrine of the of free will is the tripwire in front of Christ's death for our sins. The Trinity, doctrine is the tripwire in front of death. And these little tripwires keep millions of people from the verse I read to you earlier, from apprehending. Well, that's a great verse. From an apprehension of the glory of the evangel of Christ. Blinds the apprehensions. Satan blinds the apprehensions. How many times have I heard it? Well, they're just confused. People are just confused. Give them a break. Confusion is deadly. Satan's main tool is confusion. And by means of confusion, he has deceived the world. And how does he broadcast these doctrines to the world? Via your favorite religion and mine, the Christian religion. That's right. He disseminates these teachings of demons through the agency of religion. Best tool Satan ever had, religion. Oh, man, it's cutting them down by the day. As I speak, millions are being cut down by Satan. Doesn't mean they're not saved for eternity, just means they don't have aeonian life. Doesn't mean they won't live with God forever, just means they're not going to be snatched away. Because the glory of Christ in the evangel of Paul, given him by the resurrected Christ, does not illuminate them. Tomorrow, I am going to have you imagine the books of the Bible as sitting individually on a bookshelf being pressed on either side by spring-loaded bookends. You heard right! Tomorrow you're going to do that for me, and it's going to make this whole 2 weeks make even more sense to you than it already does. Believe in God no matter what the clergy tell you. I'm Martin Zendrick.